I watched her load the red wagon, the one I'd seen in the backyard, with brood frames, those little slats that slip down in the hives for the bees to deposit honey on. We have to make sure the queen has plenty of room to lay her eggs, or else we'll get a swarm, she said. What does that mean, a swarm? Well, if you have a queen and a group of independent-minded bees that split off from the rest of the hive and look for another place to live, then you've got a swarm. They usually cluster on a limb somewhere. It was clear she didn't like swarms. So, she said, getting down to business, what we have to do is take out the frames filled with honey and put in empty ones. August pulled the wagon while I walked behind it carrying the smoker stuffed with pine straw and tobacco leaves. Zack had placed a brick on top of each hive telling August what to do. If the brick was at the front, it meant the colony had nearly filled the combs and needed another super. If the brick was at the back, there were problems like wax moths or ailing queens. Turned on its side, the brick announced a happy bee family. No Aussie, just Harriet and her 10,000 daughters. August struck a match and lit the grass in the smoker. I watched her face flare with light, then recede into the dimness. She waved the bucket, sending smoke into the hive. The smoke, she said, worked better than a sedative. Still, when August removed the lids, the bees poured out in thick black ropes, breaking into strands, a flurry of tiny wings moving around our faces. The air rained bees, and I sent them love, just like August said. She pulled out a brood frame, a canvas of whirling blacks and grays with rubbings of silver. "There she is, Lily. See ya?" said August. "That's the queen, the large one." I made a curtsy like people do for the Queen of England, which made August laugh. I wanted to make her love me so she would keep me forever. If I could make her love me, maybe she would forget about Beatrix the nun going home and let me stay. When we walked back to the house, darkness had settled in and fireflies sparked around our shoulders. I could see Rosaline and May through the kitchen window finishing the dishes. August and I sat in collapsible lawn chairs beside a crepe myrtle that kept dropping blossoms all over the ground. Cello music swelled out from the house, rising higher and higher until it lifted off the earth, sailing toward Venus. I could see how such music drew the ghosts out of dying people, giving them a ride to the next life. I wish June's music could have seen my mother out. I gazed at the stone wall that edged the backyard. "There are pieces of paper in the wall out there," I said, as if August didn't know this. "Yes, I know. It's May's wall. She made it herself." "May did?" I tried to picture her mixing cement, carrying rocks around in her apron. "She gets a lot of the stones from the river that runs through the woods back there. She's been working on it 10 years or more." "So that's where she got her big muscles. Rock lifting. What are all those scraps of paper stuck in it?" "Oh, it's a long story," August said. "I guess you've noticed. May is special." "She sure does get upset easy," I said. "That's because May takes in things differently than the rest of us do." August reached over and laid her hand on my arm. "See, Lily, when you and I hear about some misery out there, it makes us feel bad for a while, but it doesn't wreck our whole world. It's like we have a built-in protection around our hearts that keeps the pain from overwhelming us. But May, she doesn't have that. Everything just comes into her, all the suffering out there, and she feels as if it's happening to her. She can't tell the difference." Did this mean if I told May about T-Ray's mounds of grits, his dozens of small cruelties, about my killing my mother, that hearing it she would feel everything I did? I wanted to know what happened when two people felt it. Would it divide the hurt in two, make it lighter to bear, the way feeling someone's joy seemed to double it?